Hello, everyone, and welcome to Health for Niger podcast. My name is Dr. Ngozi Onoha. Today, I have a very special guest with me. Join me in welcoming Dr. Sadaf Lodi. She is an obstetrician gynecologist and an executive coach for women, and she is the founder of the Muslim Sex podcast. So, welcome. Thank
Thank
you
you.
so much.
Yes, no, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate your time.
Yes. And I'm so excited. You know, I heard about your podcast last year and started listening. I shared it with my friends. And I'm so glad that you could come here today and talk to us about vaginal estrogen. You know, this is kind of a trending topic. I had seen something on X, former Twitter. And I thought, you know what? I would like to have a specialist on my show talking about vaginal estrogen because I think women don't know enough about it. So, before we start, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about you and what you do, and then we'll dive into our questions.
Sounds great. So I am a board certified OBGYN. I'm also an intimacy coach. So I help women move forward in their relationships if they feel like they're stuck. And I'm also a sexual health specialist as well as a menopause society certified practitioner. I also, as you said, I'm the host of the Muslim Sex podcast, and I have a retreat coming up in September that's going to focus September 16th through the 23rd. That it's going to focus on sexual health, menopausal health, and nutrition as we age. So it's going to be fantastic. And it's in Morocco. So it's going to be excellent. And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at drsadaf.com, at Dr. Sadaf OBGYN. And so I have a YouTube channel as well.
Okay, that's really wonderful. So I will post the links to your channel in the description of this podcast. If you're listening on YouTube, you'll see the links in the description. And definitely the retreat in Morocco sounds absolutely wonderful. So that's in your link in bio, correct? So if they go to your platforms, they can find you, and I'll put that in there as well. So this is amazing. So tell me about vaginal estrogen, and is it only women in menopause who should use vaginal estrogen?
Yes. So vaginal estrogen is typically used for women in menopause, although there are other conditions that you can also use the vaginal estrogen in, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But typically, so vaginal estrogen is used to help supply back the estrogen that we may lose as we get older. So usually menopausal women, what happens is that our estrogen goes down and basically goes down almost down to zero. And what happens with that is that women will notice a lot of vaginal irritation, itching, discomfort, pain with sex. They may even have recurrent UTIs. Their bladder health may suffer. They may have feelings of overactive bladder. And so, what the vaginal estrogen does, it helps to bring back that blood supply because estrogen, we know, helps to cause lubrication in the vagina. It also helps to plump up that tissue. It helps to prevent recurrent UTIs. It helps normalize the pH in the vagina so we don't get recurrent yeast infections or bacterial vaginosis. It favors the growth of lactobacillus and, prevents the pathogens that cause UTIs. It also helps to stimulate the growth of the vaginal cells and thickens the layer of the vagina, and it improves blood flow, it improves elasticity, lubrication. All of that is made better with vaginal estrogen. Another condition where we may use a vaginal estrogen besides menopause is sometimes in breastfeeding women. We know that their levels of estrogen, progesterone are also down because they're breastfeeding. And so sometimes they can experience something similar to menopause where they have pain with intercourse and their vaginal, their vulvar tissue feels itchy. It feels like it could really use some more lubrication. It feels irritated. And so then we would also tell them to use a little bit of estrogen for the same reason to help with the blood flow, to improve that elasticity, and to improve the tissue texture there. Anything that causes a hypoestrogenic state, meaning like a low estrogen state in our bodies, will cause this irritation to occur in the vagina. And so for all of those reasons, it's so important to use vaginal estrogen. And what I feel is that, you know, unfortunately, estrogen has such a bad rap, really, like a bad reputation, because what happens is that because of the WHI study that happened in 2002, you know, that study came out and all of a sudden, you know, estrogen was seen as being something horrible and, you know, you don't take it. And so as me, even being a provider in obstetrics and gynecology, we were taught that, you know, we don't prescribe estrogen. It causes breast cancer, it causes blood clots, causes all these horrible things. And since then, really, estrogen has really not recovered from that type of bad press. And so many women are scared of vaginal estrogen. And the truth be told, vaginal estrogen is really, really, really safe, even if you never take hormones, right? Which I advocate that all women should take hormones, but it doesn't matter. Even if you decide you don't want to take hormones for, you know, postmenopause, vaginal estrogen is something that you should absolutely use, like absolutely 100%, because you want to prevent the recurrent UTIs that happen later on in life. And we know that women that are older, I mean, honestly, if we think about it, women are now living much longer. They live almost a third of their life in postmenopause. And we have to really think about, you know, what do I want to be? What do I want my health to look like as I get older? You know, do I want to be stuck in a nursing home where I have recurrent UTIs and my bladder health is awful and my, you know, vulva shrinks down to the size of like the opening shrinks down to the size of a quarter? I mean, you know, like what is it that I want my health to look like? And really, vaginal estrogen is going to help prevent all of that. It's going to help maintain that vulvar tissue and that anatomy. It's going to prevent you from having recurrent UTIs. It's going to help that bladder health. It's going to make intercourse less painful. I mean, really, it's going to help. It's going to help with lubrication, and it's going to prevent intercourse from being really painful. And I think that, you know, for all of these reasons, we should really advocate for more women to use vaginal estrogen.
Okay. All right. That was fantastic information. So I'll just recap a little bit. So, and before I do that, I have to say to people listening that this is purely health education. Okay. This is a disclaimer. We're not giving any kind of medical advice. This is pure education. And so, and this is education that women need to know, right? Because, you know, a lot of women suffer with this. They have recurring UTIs, urinary tract infections. They have vaginal dryness. They have pain with sex. They have bladder problems, bladder incontinence. They can't hold their urine. But what do you think is causing the pushback? Why are providers reluctant to prescribe vaginal estrogen? Are there certain things? Obviously, a woman who's having vaginal complaints, she would have a vaginal exam. She would have a pap smear, right? To make sure that she doesn't have cervical cancer or anything like that. But why is there so much fear, even though the studies have shown that vaginal estrogen can prevent recurring UTIs in postmenopausal women? So why is there that pushback from the providers, as well as the people who need it, the women who need it, and they're so petrified of this vaginal estrogen? It's almost like if they use this vaginal estrogen, they're going to get cancer that day, something like that. I mean, that's how the fear is so real, you know?
100%. You know, that is a fantastic question, Dr. Ngozi. And you know what I would have to say is that it really boils down to our education, right? We as providers do not have proper education on sexual health. We don't have education on menopause. I mean, I will tell you, in my training, you know, I didn't get anything on sexual health or menopause. I mean, gosh, the only thing I remember from my training on menopause was the fact that, you know, the WHI study had come out at that time, and all of a sudden, boom, we didn't use estrogen anymore. And we didn't prescribe it. And all these poor women had to suffer, right? They are suffering with osteoporosis, with cardiovascular disease, I mean, with cognitive issues. If we think about what happens to our brains, what happens to our bodies when we lose that estrogen in postmenopause. And then we end, aside from, you know, our bones, our cardiovascular, increased risk of colon cancer, right, cognitive issues, aside from all of that, we have these genital urinary syndrome of menopause, right? That's not going to go away. It's only going to get worse. And we as providers are just not educated. And unless you make a concerted effort to get educated, it's not going to happen. So, you know, what happens? Well, a woman comes in to her provider. She tells her provider, you know what, I'm having a lot of pain with sex. I mean, honestly, I just had this last week. I had a patient come in and she had seen so many providers before she saw me and literally crying because, you know, she's like, oh, I don't care about sex. You know, it's so painful for me, but my partner really wants it. And I just don't know what to do. And I can't find anyone to help me. And all the woman needed was some vaginal estrogen, right? That's all she needed to help with her, you know, painful sex. But then I took a look also at her, you know, anatomy, and I noticed that she had something else going on. She had lichen sclerosis. But, you know, aside from that, I really think that we as providers are just not educated. And so when we're not educated, we can't educate our patients, right? And like I said, estrogen has like this bad PR, right? Everyone thinks that estrogen is going to cause breast cancer. It's going to cause, you know, stroke and heart attack and all these horrible things. And it's not. Estrogen does not cause all of that. If you look back at the studies, if we actually go back to the WHI study, we'll notice that all of the statements, all of the findings that they found in that study have actually, they've actually gone back and said, you know what, wait a second, estrogen doesn't cause this. Estrogen, you know, it doesn't cause an increase in breast cancer risk. Estrogen is helpful. Estrogen helps with osteoporosis, you know, so you actually have to go back and see, well, what is it that providers are saying now? What is the WHI saying now regarding their own study that now they've gone back and said, wait a second, you know, our findings were not correct and we didn't interpret the studies properly. And besides that, I mean, really, vaginal estrogen, if you go back and you look at the studies, we notice that there is no systemic absorption. So I repeat that there is no systemic, meaning like it doesn't go all over your body. When you treat with local vaginal estrogen, one, you're treating with such a small dose of estrogen in the vulvar area, right? So you're treating inside the vagina and outside. There is such low absorption of this estrogen. And in the postmenopausal state, we see that it is less than 10 picograms per milliliter, basically saying that, you know what, the estrogen that we're giving these women in the vagina is not going all over their body. And so it is super safe. In fact, you know, obviously, like you said, this is not medical advice. And so anyone who decides they want vaginal estrogen will have to go speak with their provider, especially if they have a history of breast cancer. But honestly, if you go through, you'll see that even patients that have had breast cancer, now I'm not telling women to go out and do this, obviously it's a conversation, but they've shown that because it's not systemic, that even women with breast cancer can use vaginal estrogen. So that is something that is really, really important information. And honestly, for most women, right? Most women don't have all of these other comorbidities, like they don't have breast cancer, they don't have these uterine cancer, whatever kind of cancer. You know, most women can use vaginal estrogen. In fact, you can use it if you have high blood pressure. There have been studies where it has shown that it does not, vaginal estrogen does not increase the risk of blood clots. It's safe to use with somebody with a history of blood clots. It doesn't, even if you have a history of heart disease, you can use it. Even if you have a history of stroke, you can use vaginal estrogen. Vaginal estrogen is super, super safe because it really does not go, if you take it exactly the way that it's instructed to be taken, right, which is a small dose inside of the vagina and outside for vulvar health, it does not circulate all over the body. It's really local. It acts on that tissue there, and it is super safe, and it'll prevent a woman from going to the hospital for a UTI, for urosepsis, and dying of, you know, possibly urosepsis, right?
Right.
So we know that women that are in nursing homes often are afflicted with UTIs. all of this can be prevented with vaginal estrogen. And there are different types of vaginal estrogen. We have vaginal estrogen cream. We have vaginal estrogen tablets. There's a vaginal estrogen ring. And there's a vaginal estrogen suppository. There's four different ways to get your vaginal estrogen. And, you know, in the beginning, for a lot of the vaginal estrogens, you have to take it nightly for 2 weeks. And then you take it twice a week for really the rest of your life. It is really, really safe. And so I want women, whoever are listening to this, whoever's listening to this podcast, to know to go and talk to your provider and ask them, if you are postmenopausal, ask your provider about, you know, even if you decide you don't want estrogen, ask your provider about vaginal estrogen, because that is super, super safe. And honestly, I would say that, you know, estrogen in general is pretty safe. Again, if you don't have, you know, all these other like liver disease and things like that. And we're not talking about systemic estrogen right now. We're only talking about vaginal estrogen. So I would say that vaginal estrogen is super safe. In fact, we know that when the estrogen levels go down, there's these receptors on the bladder that actually go up, and that tell us, you know, when our bladder is full. So they get activated, they get like super activated when the estrogen levels go down. And that's why women may feel like they have to go to the bathroom all the time. They get this overactive bladder because these receptors are now, you know, they don't have that estrogen. So they always feel like they're full. They feel like the bladder is full. And so the woman always has to go to the bathroom. Well, you know what would happen if you use vaginal estrogen? You would be addressing the root cause of the problem. And you wouldn't have that sensation to always have to go to the bathroom, right? So that is something that can really affect a woman's quality of life. And so, so important that if you, you know, want to use vaginal estrogen, that you provide, that you go see a provider that can prescribe you vaginal estrogen.
Okay. So you shared a lot of information, and this is good, I think, for women to know, because without that information, they're not empowered. And, you know, as you mentioned, menopause is not well taught in medical schools or residency, unless you're a gynecologist. If you're a generalist,
you don't get it.
You know, and that's so, I think, you know, that's almost like, I don't know, because I remember when I was practicing in Nigeria, and women would come complaining of this symptom that they call internal heat, is what they would call it, internal heat. And internal heat was just their way of expressing hot flashes. Yes. But you see, when they say internal heat, and you read the textbooks that describe menopause, there's no internal heat as a symptom. And often those women were dismissed or called neurotic, because when you open the medical textbook, you'll see a description of menopause symptoms, and internal heat is not one of the symptoms that is described in the medical textbook. So when you have a woman who, in her own words, she's having this internal heat, which is menopause, and she's dismissed because, you know, she's diagnosed with having anxiety or she's neurotic. So I think it's important for women to be informed. And what you've explained is that vaginal estrogen, once you apply it to the vagina or the vulva, it stays there. It doesn't travel anywhere else.
Yes.
So it just stays there. It's local treatment. It doesn't spread to any of the other organs. It just stays there. And, you know, this is, you know, is a hormone that when women are not in menopause, they've got estrogen. So they don't have an issue with dryness or that bladder, overactive bladder, or, you know, the pain with sex and all the other symptoms, vaginal symptoms, the genital urinary symptoms of menopause. They don't have those symptoms when they have estrogen. But as they're going to menopause, their estrogen falls. And then if they have those symptoms and they don't want to take systemic hormone replacement therapy, so like oral estrogens or the patches or whatever it is that they're taking, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, they can actually use the vaginal estrogen on its own. As long as they've gone, they've had their checkups, they've had their pap smears. So let me just ask you, from perspective of a gynecologist, if you have someone who wants vaginal estrogen, and the woman has got abnormal pap smears, or maybe she's had a history of cervical cancer, is that something she would need to be concerned about using vaginal estrogen? Is there any literature or data on that?
No, in fact, there's none that I know, none that I have seen. Nothing that I've seen that would cause a woman not to, So the one thing is anytime a woman has unexplained vaginal bleeding, right? That absolutely needs, especially in the postmenopausal period, that absolutely needs to be followed up, right? So you always make sure that there's not uterine cancer or anything else going on like that. But a history of abnormal pap smears, I haven't seen in the literature. I haven't seen written anywhere where that would be a contraindication to taking vaginal estrogen or using that. And the reason why you use it also, use it on the outside of the vulva is because it also helps with the labia and the anatomy on the outside. And you use it on the inside because it helps with the vaginal tissue on the inside, the rugae of the vagina, the tissue, and the epithelial cells that are inside of the vagina to help them be plump and not so that your tissue inside is not thin and very when it's thin, then that's when it becomes irritated and people have pain with intercourse. But in terms of abnormal pap smears, I haven't seen that anywhere.
Okay, that's helpful. I guess from the perspective of, you have young women who are not in menopause who may have abnormal pap smears, but they're making estrogen anyway, right? So I'm just thinking about it from that perspective. So, I mean, you're looking at something that is not absorbed systemically. So you apply it locally and it just stays there, right? So that's really good to know. I think Dr. Sadaf, after this podcast, I think we may have just started a vaginal estrogen movement.
I hope so.
I think the providers are going to love us and say, "Where? Who are these women? And what are they doing?" So I think we may just have started a vaginal estrogen movement. I think we need it because a lot of women are suffering because they just don't have
Absolutely.
the information.
Yes.
And that is what we're here to do. You've got your podcast, I've got my podcast, and we're just sending out health information. We're not giving any kind of medical advice here. It's basically health information to empower women. So I've got one more question, and I think we more or less have covered it. And the question that I have is basically the benefit. What is the benefit to vaginal estrogen? So, what does it do, which we've already covered? And so, unless you just want to give a recap summary.
Sure. So, like we said before, vaginal estrogen, it stimulates the vaginal epithelial cells that are already there in the vagina. It thickens the superficial cell layer. We know that it increases the blood flow, the elasticity, and lubrication are made much better when women use vaginal estrogen. It also helps with the tissue texture, and it makes it thicker. And so it's not easily irritated, and it doesn't. Sometimes women can actually, they actually feel like, they're vaginal tissue is tearing when they have intercourse. If it's so dry, if it's so irritated, if it's so thin, they can actually get those cuts. So that's why it's so important to use this vaginal estrogen. It helps with vaginal dryness. It helps with pain with intercourse. And it helps to normalize the vagina's acidity so that you don't have these recurrent bacterial infections inside the vagina. We know that it makes the vaginal lining thickened, stronger, less fragile, more elastic, blood flows increase. We know all of that. And like we said, it prevents the feeling of that overactive bladder so that you don't feel like you always have to run to the bathroom. We know that really it is just I think for overall vulvar health, it is really so, so important to be using vaginal estrogen. And I tell all my patients, because I say that even if you don't want to use systemic estrogen, which I highly recommend women use, but if you cannot, or for some reason, you know, feel uncomfortable using systemic hormones, to definitely use this vaginal estrogen. And I do want to make clear that, you know, perimenopausal women can also use it, because during that perimenopausal time, that's when our estrogen is fluctuating, right? So sometimes you may feel like, you know, you're lubricated, you're not having pain with intercourse. And other times you may have a lot of irritation and a lot of pain because maybe your estrogen at that point, you know, maybe that month it's low, right? Because our estrogen is going up and down in perimenopause. And so maybe you need vaginal estrogen at that time. And I actually recommend that if you want to start it, you know, you don't have to wait till you have all the symptoms to start using this vaginal estrogen. If you find that you want to use this vaginal estrogen, go ahead and use it. Really, there's no risk to using vaginal estrogen. I want to also make a point here that, you know, there was a study, in fact, I just recorded a reel yesterday about how African-American women tend to go through perimenopause for the longest period of time. Okay, so they go through it. So like a Caucasian woman will go through perimenopause for about 7 years. Asian women will go through it for about like 4 to 5 years. Hispanic women, about 9 years. But African-American women, 10 years. So if we're saying that the mean age for somebody to go through menopause is 51, that means African-American women can start as early as in their early 40s, right? Like maybe 41, 40, whatever, and go for it. Period of 10 years. That's 10 years of hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, arrhythmias, joint pain, all of this stuff, right? Brain fog, which is one of the biggest symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. But really, you know, when we're going through all of this stuff, it really behooves us and behooves providers to really learn about these symptoms so that we can help our patients, and for patients to find providers that understand menopause, know that, you know, that somebody that's going to listen to you, somebody that's not going to dismiss your symptoms, somebody's going that's going to understand and know that different ethnicities go through perimenopause for different durations, right? And we know this through the SWAN study, which was a multi-center study that was conducted and is still, they're still getting information. It was a study done on midlife women, and it was started in 1994. And it's, they've been watching women go through midlife and their midlife transitions and what happens. And we know that the reason why we believe that African-American go through perimenopause for a longer period of time, they think, and it was a study that was, it was a paper that was reviewed in 2022, and it was by Harlow et al. And it talked about disparities in perimenopause, menopause transition between Black women and white women. And what they noted was that it was because of systemic racism that African-American women have to endure that causes them to go through this transition for a longer period of time, because what happens is there's something called epigenetics. And what we know is that the DNA for people that have chronic stress. So if you're undergoing facing systemic racism on a daily basis, right? It's actually going to affect your DNA. It's going to change the DNA. It's going to make those telomeres shorter. And if you look at that DNA, it'll be actually the DNA of somebody that's much older, which makes a person susceptible to high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, all of those things. And in fact, you know, can even have them experience perimenopausal symptoms for a longer period of time. The reason why this is important is because you may be experiencing these symptoms, but think like, oh, you know what? They said menopause, postmenopause doesn't happen. You know, menopause doesn't happen until 51. So what I'm experiencing now, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure I'm fine. Or, you know, you go to your doctor and you tell them that you're having all these symptoms and they're like, no, you're too young. You can't be going through this. No, you can be going through this. Because, you know, it could be because of your genetics. And another interesting thing that I read recently, actually just yesterday, was that they noted that when they looked at the health of African-American women before they, and just not even women, just African-Americans, before they come to the U.S., like in Africa, they noticed that their health is in par with white women here in the U.S.,
right.
Okay? But once they come over to the U.S., They notice that after a couple of generations, their health goes significantly down. Why? Again, it's because of the systemic racism. So, you know, I'm not advocating for anything. I'm just saying something that is found in studies, and you can look it up. Your readers can look it up. You can find studies and papers published about epigenetics. You can find out about how undergoing constant stress affects our bodies, right? If we're constantly under stress, how that's going to affect us, and how that's going to make us susceptible to different types of diseases. In fact, they see the same thing in Southeast Asians, because we were colonized by the British, and because we were exposed to famine and starvation, our DNA has changed. So that makes us more susceptible to heart disease and diabetes and similar. So just, I guess it's a fun fact for your listeners and people listening to this podcast to know and to really think about, right? And to wonder how different things in society and, you know, they call those social determinants of health, right? How those things affect our health, and really how important it is to kind of guard ourselves against extra stresses that may be happening, because without us even knowing it, it affects our health and it affects our bodies.
Okay, this is amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Sadaf. Definitely the people listening, the viewers, are going to find value in all the information shared. I really appreciate the time that you spent, and I hope you can come back to the podcast again.
I'd love to come back.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.